And we're going to talk about new things today. We're talking about change and thriving through life state change. Not coping, thriving. Thriving. And I'm going to invite some friends up here to help me thrive. But let's go to the Word of God to start with. Ecclesiastes 3, 1 to 8 talks about seasons in life. And it says here, for everything there is a season and a time for every matter under heaven. A time to be born and a time to die. A time to plant and a time to pluck up what is planted. A time to kill and a time to heal. A time to break down and a time to build up. A time to weep and a time to laugh. A time to mourn and a time to dance. A time to cast away stones and a time to gather stones together. A time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing. A time to seek and a time to lose. A time to keep and a time to cast away. A time to tear and a time to sow. A time to keep silence and a time to speak. A time to love and a time to hate. A time for war and a time for peace. There are seasons in life. Solomon writes this with all his wisdom and thinking through. He writes Ecclesiastes and discovers in that the thing that we ponder so much. What is the season I'm in and how do I discern what God's doing in it? And how do I cope with the change that's coming or is upon me now? Or how do I even cope with the change that has happened to me but I haven't quite caught up with that yet? Change is part of our world. It just is. God has built in a world of change. There are seasons to enter this world as a baby. That was all of us. There are seasons to have siblings and seasons to be alone. There are seasons to go to primary school, seasons to go to high school, seasons to do some other kind of study perhaps, and seasons to finish studying, seasons to enter the workforce, seasons to retire and lay down your life's vocation, seasons to marry, to wait, or to say no to marriage, and seasons for losing that special person. Seasons of financial impossibility and seasons of plenty. You'd like that one. Seasons for children, nieces, nephews, and seasons when they leave home. Seasons for geographic stability and seasons for locational change. And a season to depart this world and to be with Jesus. These seasons are real. They're normal, and they're wrapped in the love of Jesus. Seasons are normal. I remember the end of 2006, for me personally, was one of the greatest eras of change that I had in my life. Now, I have had lots of change. I've lived in different countries, I've different places. But last quarter of 2006, Ro and I decided to move to Bathurst and plant this church. We had a season of a newborn baby, which is the best part about that season. He's grown a little. No names mentioned. We were planting a church, which was ridiculously impossible, just the four and then five of us. No, three. How many were there? Three. He was number three. It was a blur. There were five of us, yeah, because he was number five. Yeah, I'm with you. And we drove here. We were buying a house, buying our first house, dealing with finances, dealing with the end of our life in Sydney, wrapping up. For me, it was a good season of work and a great place and work and then trying to step out on our own and buy a house. You thought interest rates were tough then. Now, they were like 9% back then. Seasons of letting go of friends, letting go of a great church. We had a cracking church in Sydney, and friends and kids had friends. We're going to launch them into no friends, no church. Seasons of thinking, how is this ever going to work? How is it going to be financial? How are we going to actually survive this thing? Seasons of learning to deal in a new town. Think of some seasons that you've had like that, of just significant change. I'm yet to face some seasons that some of you have faced. Lots of children leaving home, empty nesting, and retiring. I don't think I'll ever retire. That looks like a pipe dream. But what are the seasons that you've been through that have caused you real challenge and sometimes stress, sometimes anxiety? And you thought to yourself, what is God doing in the middle of this? Why all this change? Why seasons? Why did God design it this way? But let me tell you this morning, before I invite our friends up to share, here's a key thought that I want you to keep in mind. Because your perspective on seasons will really help you change or struggle through this, because change will happen. But here's one key thought, a one-point message, okay? Here it is. He is making all things new. That's what God is doing. That's what God is doing. Ever since the creation of the world and the fall of mankind and the destruction that brought to our relationship with God, our relationship with each other, our relationship with our creation, ever since that moment, our world has been a little bit topsy-turvy, right? And it still is. Relationships are still hard, right? Between each other. Relationship God and people is still hard, right? Our relationship with our environment, our earth, there are still issues in our world. Things like earthquakes, volcanoes. You know, the natural events is all a result of that fall. And then human-induced change and all kinds of things that are going on in our world. Did you know that even in all of that, God is working to make all things new? This is so exciting. Let me read you a scripture. Revelation 21, verse 5. He who is seated on the throne said, "Behold, I am making all things new." And also he said, "Write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true." See, he says, "I am making all things new." That's cause for great hope. The end is not to be feared. The end is to be celebrated and rejoiced. But before the end, God is making things new. That's what he does. That's what he does in people's lives. That's what he's done in my life. He's restored me from someone pretty ordinary to someone a little bit better than pretty ordinary. He's working in my life to make my life new. Good news? He's working in your marriage, would you believe? He's working in your family, in your children. He's working in your work, your vocation. He's working to make all things new. It's the most exciting thing. And then when he comes back, I tell you, everything will be new. Like brand new. I mean, amazing new. I can't wait for that day. Yeah. And until then, it's a ramp up, people. We're going up. We're being made, remade, reformed, remolded. And it's the most exciting journey because the Holy Spirit is working in this world to make all things new. And the reason I can trust that is that God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Hebrews 13:8. Because God is the same, he's drawing us in a changing way to his fixed way. In other words, his sameness is eternity, right? Follow me for a second. God is eternal. His life is eternal. His life is constantly new, right? Eternity doesn't mean just fixed and static. Eternity means constantly renewed. Right? So when God says, "I'm making all things new," he's bearing out his eternity on us. And when we get into his spirit, we are being made new. And so the oldest person around us can be alive on the inside because they've got a touch of eternity on the inside. The closer you get to Jesus, the more life you have. And here's a scripture, 2 Corinthians 4:16. So we don't lose heart, though our outer self is wasting away, our inner self is being renewed day by day. See that? Your inner mind, no matter what happens to your body or your finger or your knees or whatever ailment you might have, well, that's kind of fading away. But what's actually being made new is on the inside of you. Every day you are being renewed day by day until we meet Jesus face to face. We're being renewed. It's a journey up. And that brings hope. God is at work. The eternal God is at work every day in your life. So what has that got to do with change? Here it is. If you go with the change that God's doing and trust that he's making all things new, you can let go of the things that he's chipping away. You see? There's a song about that. It says, let it go. I won't sing it. Some movie somewhere. Let it go. I was thinking of another song. Leave it behind. That's a better one. You too. I won't sing that either. These songs tap into the change. And as we change and go through transitions, if we've got the confidence to leave some things behind and say goodbye with the confident assurance that he is making all things new on the inside, and we can face the future with great confidence. So that's the big picture. God is making all things new. I want to invite some friends to the stage. We're going to invite Rosemary and Carolyn. You're not Carolyn. He's got curly hair. Come up, Mark. I'll introduce you properly in a second. Let's just move a few things around here. And Ben, can you move that one? Beautiful. How are we? Good. This is fun. So, Rosemary is married to Ian, who's recovering. Beautiful, from an operation, big operation this week. Yeah. Oh, I should just. And then Carolyn is married to Peter, who's, I'm sure I saw him before. No, I'm looking at this Peter. There we go, Peter. And Mark is married to Leanne, who's working. It's a shame. Anyway. Okay. So, As you kind of answer this first question, maybe just introduce yourself and say good day. But I'm going to start with you, Mark. Ladies first. I'm going to start with Rosemary.
Page.
It was page. The red shoes. So the question where we started, each of these are in different stages and have gone through different stages of life change. So Rosemary, what changes are you dealing with now? Or in the past or recently, what's happening and change?
Well, obviously we're getting older, so I'm told.
No.
So the biggest change for us recently, is retirement and ageing that comes with that. And I always thought it happened to somebody else. I didn't see myself getting old until my daughters turned 40, and I thought, oh. Where does that leave me? I thought I was 40. But anyway, preparing firstly for retiring. Ian and I fed our super like everyone does because we're going to look after ourselves, hopefully, and buy the car, maintain the house because it'll never need another thing done on it.
Right.
Yeah. So we're looking ahead, thinking we've got a plan, we're right. But then we think, will it be enough? We don't know. You know, just people say, money-wise, you need $1 million. We're not going to have that. And then talking about it, we say, but God has got a plan. We have never gone destitute right. before. We've never had to sing at the sidewalk for people to throw us money. God's got a plan. So let's just do what we do, prepare, trust him and keep going. And so that's what we've done.
We'll come back to those questions. Let's just flick around. Mm-hmm. I just want to get the background of who's, what change people are going through. So for you, your retirement, possibly aging, I'm not sure about that. Carolyn, just flick your mic to Carolyn, what life stage change are you going through or have been through recently?
Okay, so Peter and I have 3 children, and I guess I threw my life into looking after them. Even as they were teenagers, I worked my life around them and made sure I was always there for them.
Yeah.
Within a very short space of time, 3 of them left home and 3 of them got married.
What?
When they're growing up, you're like, oh, I can't wait to have time away from them. I just need a break.
No.
I just need, you know, just, you know. But I think you sort of fantasize about empty nesters and go, oh, then my life's all together. It's back, it's mine again, you know. This. But I guess what you don't realize is suddenly they're gone.
Right.
In terms of, they're obviously still here. They're in Sydney, but they... But you are, particularly now that they're married, we are no longer that major voice in their life.
Yeah.
So we hear bits and pieces, obviously, but it's like they don't need us anymore. And it's a bit of a strange mix because we brought them up to be independent, to be able to cope with the world and to actually not need us. But then when it gets to the point where they don't need you anymore, that absolutely has thrown me. So it's been a couple of years now, of trying to figure out a new purpose in life, I think.
Yeah.
And, I think that just sort of like feel like I've been through this terrible grief.
Yeah.
Yeah. So...
Okay, retirement, aging, kids leaving home and not needing you anymore. What have you got, Mark? Can you beat that?
Well, I'm glad we're not talking about menopause.
No, we're not today.
So, between Leanne and I, we have 5 children, and our eldest is now married, so we've got plus one. But for us, for me, we're actually looking at tree change, location change. And that's been coming about for a few years now. And thank goodness for COVID, because it now means we can work from home. And recently we've been in the throes of planning a house, moving from Sydney. We're now in Lithgow and eventually we'll be in Portland. And then we're about to enter the building phase. So, thank you. And just saying through all of that, our patience has grown.
Yeah.
Do you want more than that, or do you want to
That's
keep it simple?
That's a good start. So, there's the context, okay? There's the different stages, and we could include, we could throw in all kinds of things from, you know, having a first baby, that's big, kids going to school, you know, there's all kinds of spaces, or taking a new job. So, just in general, think of those terms. These are the contexts that we're talking about now. So, Rosen, we'll start back with you. The second thing was, what has been difficult? How has your faith helped you through?
I'd like to say I'm not a control freak. I just like everything to be done right. Just working out what's been difficult. Being settled in, seeing my worth, having left work, which you've got value at work and you've got people who, you know, encourage you and that. So it's just been difficult, hands off. We're stepped from this firm life to we're not quite sure what, but knowing that God's got a control in it. And so letting go, standing aside, not slipping into other people's expectations, that's been difficult because we're not other people. The hardest is to change to suit what we can physically do as well.
Yeah, yeah.
We both think that we can still do way more than we physically can.
Yeah.
So, you know, look out for us. So that's been the difficult thing, reining our thoughts in to what we can physically do too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And how has your faith helped that journey? Has it helped? This is a presumptuous question.
It has helped that journey.
Good.
It has. I've got a verse that has sort of in my mind. It says, set your mind on things above, not on earthly things.
Yeah.
And it's that's it. We not to spend so much time on what's happening here and now and in front of me, but looking to God. Because, like I said, he's got a plan. Know that he's in control and be calm in that, rest
yeah.
in that.
Yeah.
Don't try to complicate it by doing what I think should be done,
yeah.
but waiting on him and being confident in what he is doing in my life.
Nice.
And I've developed over the years in thinking, if I believe God, I know I do, then I should live like that.
Yeah.
Not the second guessing, not the scaredness, but God's got a plan. So, hey, I can be smiling today even though there's a fear, but it's not overtaking me because I know God is in control. He's got that plan for me.
Right. And that's applicable to any life stage change.
Yeah.
You know, we're not all facing retirement or emptiness, but whatever you're facing, that sense that God is with you.
Yeah,
that's powerful.
You talked about new babies. We moved to Bathurst when Naomi was 2 weeks old. I'd nursed a baby before.
Yeah.
But I had no idea. And that's where it all started.
Yeah.
God, you know where I am. Help me. And he did. You know, there were people and services and stuff that I didn't know about until I needed. But that's where it all started, you know, just that baby steps.
Let's hear from Carolyn. What's been difficult about the, you know, like losing 3 kids pretty quickly and obsolete mum?
Thanks, make me feel real good. I thought I was going to be encouraged up here.
But generally, that sense that I'm not needed much anymore.
And that is the grief. And I think we sort of dismiss that. So when we go through life changes like this, as I began to understand, is grief isn't just someone dies and
right.
you're grieving right. that. Grief is losing something out of your life that was important, and it could be anything at any stage.
Yeah.
And so I guess grieving that family life of mum and dad are in charge, you know, and the kids will go and that sort of, well, we try, we don't, we row, we try. But, yeah, just not that control, but that influence, So I guess all the emotions with grief that come up. So that's been a couple of years, not quite a couple of years, but just feeling, you know, feeling worthless.
Right.
And that comes up and then I feel completely worthless.
Yeah.
And having to call on God and say, take that, because I know I'm not. I know in your eyes I'm very valuable, but my feelings betray that at the moment. So I guess I've had this wrestle going on of what I'm feeling, or feeling lonely or feeling isolated or what, knowing what God is saying in his word, but trying to get that to take over the emotions. And
nice.
Does that make sense?
And that's what's helped you?
Well, I would be a complete mess if it wasn't for the fact that I know what God is saying to me, and I know how he sees me.
Yeah.
And so, I guess it's been a wrestle. So I'm not saying that it's, I just go, oh, yeah, that's right, and just blindly go. I'm an emotional person in terms of I feel everything deeply, and that's got advantages and its disadvantages. And so, those things become it's that wrestle through knowing, but having to listen to God's voice rather than my emotions. So that's one big, huge thing. But the other big thing has been how relationships have changed. Mm-hmm. So this working this out, that as the children get older, in treating them with respect and treating them as an adult, and yet I'm still their mum.
Right.
And so there is this, do I be their best friend or... because I'm not their best friend, because I don't act like their best friend, you know, right. I'm still their mum. So there's this trying to work out how that relationship changes. And then we sort of had very quickly, on top of that, their new spouses.
Yeah.
So then the family of five went to a family of eight. So you've got a completely new dynamic.
Yep.
And just getting to know them and to feel comfortable around them and for them to feel comfortable, and then just everything sort of changes. So it just becomes this not too grasping of...
Yeah.
There's not that stability.
And how's your faith helped that aspect of trying to change the family structure and cope with that?
Well, we've been absolutely blessed because our three children have are all involved in ministry. And so I guess a lot of parents, their big thing is, I just want my children to be saved. And that's their heart. So I think we were very, very thankful. And we say, God, we can't believe, like, you have just so blessed us that our three children are all involved in ministry and just love you to death.
Yeah.
So I think I've had this really thankful heart. I've had nothing to want to say I would grumble about. And so it's been a really interesting experience because that is so good. And I've been so thankful for what you have done in their lives, God. But why do I feel messy underneath it? So I think it's just been this calling on God. And in all that, I've had more time. And, I mean, we live in this world where everyone goes, I don't have time to do anything. I'm so busy. And all of a sudden, I stepped into this world of, I actually have free time now.
Nice.
I have, what do I do with my time?
Don't say that too loudly around here.
And that's the thing, being careful of that. Right. And so I have spent a lot of time calling on God.
Yeah.
And in that, he has brought out creativity and reminded me of a creativity that I had when I was younger. Yeah. And I think that is how he has helped me through the changes in a way to express myself.
Fabulous. This is good. I'll keep working around here. So, Mark, what's been difficult? How has your faith helped you through locational change, really?
There's been a few things about that have been difficult. I've made some notes, so I'm glad I'm not the only one that's got our notes up here. I think the first one has actually been helping to parent kids who aren't my own, who don't cope well with change and have anxiety. The rental market, oh my goodness. I don't have to say anymore. And add two animals into that, you know, you're trying to always just... But you know what? God is Jehovah Jireh. He provides. And well, I guess also just the unknowing. I don't have to tell you about finance. Actually, I do. because the house we're building is not a traditional house, as in it's not you're going through Masterton Homes or whoever the mob is up here, where you go to the bank and you say, I'll have this house on that package on that piece of land. We're doing a kit home. And I tell you what, there are two banks that like to deal. And one of them just looked at Portland's postcode and went, oh, we're not going to, no. And then the other one, interest rates kept going up last year, and then the amount that they said they'd offer us kept coming down, and I'd be like, okay, so do I not put a kitchen in? Do I not put another bathroom in? And they're like, well, it is what it is. And anyway, God has provided every step of the way.
Wow.
But my faith, yes, that has helped. And I actually made a note, so Carolyn, you've quoted it without knowing, but I forgot, without God, I'd be a complete mess. Thankfully, we are all works in progress.
Yeah.
But I have been just continually encouraged to trust in him, to rest in him. And that's something that we have prayed daily for. is that God would provide, and God came through. Amen. He has.
Amen. This is good. We're coming up on time, but I'm just going to ask you one more question in a sec. But this is a conversation starter, okay? I reckon everyone in the room is either going through some sort of change or will do, or, you know, it's just life. So this is a conversation starter, and the thread that I'm hearing is your faith is actually really helping you through this stage. So my last question here was just 30 seconds each. How would you encourage those who are in the middle of a life stage change, no matter what that is, how would you encourage them?
I would say be with the right people.
Right.
Those who are going to encourage you, give you hope, not the naysayers. Find the person who will pray with you, support you by saying nothing.
Wow. But
just be your friend.
Yeah.
Everyone's got an opinion. You don't need any more opinions. You just need someone to be with you.
You mean people talk too much to you?
Yeah. I just read a couple of verses. Psalm 92. I was reading last year, and it just said, "This is for you and Ian." And then someone gave it to us during this year. It says, "The righteous will flourish like a palm tree. They will grow like a cedar of Lebanon. Planted in the house of the Lord, they will flourish in the courts of our God. They will still bear fruit in old age. Yeah. They will stay fresh and green, proclaiming, 'The Lord is upright. He is my rock.'"
Ah, good.
That's where we stand.
I like it. I like it. Thank you. Some last words to encourage someone in the middle of a life stage change.
Okay, I would say stay connected.
Wow.
As you said to other Christians, I think when things are tough, we want to withdraw and hide away. And that's what I found I wanted to do. But that take that step, take that breath, and just get connected in with others makes a big difference. Be kind to yourself, because a lot of people are going through grief when they're in a change. And you have to accept what you can and what you can't do. And don't hammer yourself about it. Do what you can. And be kind. But give God a lot of time.
Yep.
And that's what I found. Gave him time, and he just spoke volumes. Whether I was doing gardening or sweeping or cooking or whatever, he would just suddenly speak a word into my heart of value and love.
Huh.
And because I was calling upon him.
Yeah.
So I guess the big thing for me was, I want to impart, is don't necessarily expect changes in circumstances when you're praying in this change. I'm in this change, and I want everything to change and it to be over so that I can be in the new season.
Yep.
If you're desperately praying for things to change, just look out for where God is actually changing your heart and he's actually changing your perspective of how you see things, and then you'll slide through that and not even notice the changes.
Oh, good. Oh, there's so much. I hope you're taking notes or rewatch this on YouTube, etc. Because this is really good. And it's not just ideas. This is what you're living through and have experienced. That's why this is so powerful. Final words, Mark. How would you encourage? Not your final words. No.
Oh, hallelujah. Part of my devotion this morning, I was actually reading Gideon. So the least in his tribe and the least in his family, but just look at where God took him from and to, and how he used him. And now I'm getting to my notes. So remember, it's not about the journey. It's about the destination, eternity with Jesus.
Right, right.
I don't just encourage people, and looking up at the cameras, those people who are online, to keep strong in the Lord, to pray and read the word daily.
Yeah.
And to just reiterate Caroline and Rosemary's words, don't do life on your own. We're made for community.
Yeah, yeah. Fantastic. Look, that is so good. Do you give them a hand? Come on, this is really powerful stuff. Really powerful. Thank you for your wisdom and insight. And that's a conversation starter. That's what this month is all about. Let's start conversations. Let's grab some bigger issues out there in here, and then just let's support each other. So, fabulous. We're going to take 5 minutes to finish and pray, okay? We'll be 3 minutes over time. Is that all right? So let's rearrange the stage. Musos are going to come back up here because I want to pray for this. It's one thing to get some input and insight. It's another thing to pray. And just while this is being rearranged, just invite you to stand up as we finish in prayer and just some time in God to finish with. Life states change. I want you to close your eyes for a bit. What is that for you right now? What's the season that you're in right now? What's changing? What's unsettling? What's causing grief? What's shifting around? Sometimes you plan them yourself. Sometimes they're forced upon you. What is it for you right now? What's the just little unsettling things going on? I want you to do something. Take that before the Lord. Just hold that out before Him. It could be grief. It could be excitement. Some very exciting changes that are happening. And there's some things which cause real loss. Just hold them out to the Lord. The good, the bad, the fearful. And ask Him to come in to that situation. Holy Spirit, I want you to feel that He's with you, because He is. That's why we're just taking a few moments right now. I don't want you to leave feeling like, these people have all got it on stage, but you can grab the assurance that God is with you. You can take the assurance that He is making all things new. Holy Spirit, would you touch each person here on this altar? Would you touch them? Would you fill them with reassurance? Would you fill them with perspective? Would you fill them with hope? That this is all part of the journey of making all things new. Would you fill them with reassurance that they will get through this? They will survive and thrive. They will make it. Jesus, because you're with us, because you're working every day, inwardly we're being renewed every day your promises are new, your mercies are new, every day you're moving towards the end point where we'll be with you forever. And even then, I reckon you're going to make all things new. Even then, I think we've got a beautiful journey of renewal with you. And just maybe right now, there's some things that you need to leave behind. Change is difficult, but change is even harder when you're dragging stuff from the old life with you. And ask the Holy Spirit right now to identify some things that you just need to cut off. They're like chains around your feet. Cut them off. Things that you're trying to drag into the next season of life. Maybe they're expectations. Maybe they're people. Maybe they're hopes and dreams. Maybe they're things, the realities that you once were or once had, but actually they're not going to be of any use to you in this next season. It's like moving house. You tend to throw a lot out. What is that? What are you trying to drag in that's kicking and screaming? I mean, maybe you're just better off to leave it behind. Travel light. Move from stage to stage light. People, expectations, attitudes. Get free this morning. Lose some things from your past. Face where God's taking you. Reach out for His hand and He's going to lead you personally and He's going to wrap you around community. God bless each person here in whatever context they're in. And I just thank You that You are making all things new.